AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.
From EWTN News Nightly, I'm Montse Alvarado with an EWTN News Link. The faithful return for Sunday Mass at Holy Family Church in Gaza, just days after an Israeli strike killed three people and injured around a dozen others. Cardinal Pier Battista Vizzaballa celebrated Mass, saying he wants to support the parish and those taking shelter there. Pope Leo XIV urges a respect for humanitarian law in a phone call with the President of Palestine. The Holy Father also renewed his plea for an immediate ceasefire and prayed for the victims of the strike on Holy Family Church. Amid another round of Israeli strikes on Gaza today, more than two dozen countries are joining the Holy Father's call for an immediate end to the war. The United Kingdom, France, and Canada are among those calling for Israel to comply with international law. I'm Montse Alvarado with EWTN News Nightly. Follow us on Facebook and X and join us this evening.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right, enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got seven kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. She's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Very nice to have you with me. The Doctor Is In. This is the variant of The Doctor Is In. E-Person Monday. As always, and I had somebody send me an email. It says, quit saying E-Person. You've said it enough. Well, have you noticed, if you listen to any radio programs, they don't assume that everybody listens all the time. In fact, most of the time, people catch bits and pieces of a program. And furthermore, there are signatures to the program. Rush Limbaugh, if I heard him say once, I heard him say 1,000 times, with half my brain tied behind my back. Why? It's because it's signature. E-Person has to be reiterated because, as I said, and it's very important, I don't want to be linguistically insensitive. E-mail? Mail? Think about it. Mail? What's a conjure up? Patriarchy? Toxic masculinity? Huh? E-mail, even though it's spelled M-A-I-L, it still is a homonym. Same sound, different spelling. Nonetheless, still could be taken as linguistically throwback. So I use e-person. And we will get to those persons who send those e-persons shortly. As I get older and I look back, something I've concluded. When you're a certain age, especially when you're younger, between 20 and 45, there's a part of you that thinks you're always going to be that age. There's a part of you that thinks when you're 28 years old, this is not only your life, but this will be your life indefinitely. Youth. It's kind of the way you look at it. It is. It's just that way. There's something in us. So only when you hit 65 or 70 or 75 and you look back and you say, what happened? I thought I was always going to be 28, 32. I thought the kids were always going to be little. And now they're 44 and 46. How did that happen? I think, now I'm going to stretch this connection, but I think it's there nonetheless. One of the objections to filling your body up with tattoos. And we're not talking about a little butterfly on your ankle. We're talking about billboard tattoos, sleeves all up and down your arm, taking up your back, on your chest, up and down each calf, just tons of tattoos. Why? What's the purpose there? Now, if one were to look ahead and say, what is this going to look like when I'm 60? How faded are these things going to be? Will anybody even be able to tell what they are? Will I regret that I did this? Would I want my skin back? What I thought was so important, so important when I tatted it on me, the name of this girl that I thought I was in love with, and she's long gone. That relationship was over 40 years ago. Or something that I had tattooed on me that was supposed to signify something very important in my life at the time. And I didn't think about, will it still be that way 25 years from now? So why does that kind of thinking not stop? I think it is simply ineffective for most people to think that way and keep from getting a tattoo. So why? I think it goes back to, I'm always going to be 28. I'm always going to be 32. I'm never going to be 70. Or, that's so far away that it's an infinite lifetime away. Right now is what I want to do. Right now, this moment, is most important for me to express myself with a wide range of tattoos. Now, I'm not saying that tattoos are sinful. I mean, they can be, depending upon what you put on your body, but for the most part, they have become really a social norming contagion. 20 years ago, you just didn't see them. What does that say about now? I mean, it's a rare person under 30 who doesn't have one. That tells you how sheep-like we are. We're very sheep-like. I mean, if tattoos were in fact so appealing, then they'd always have been part of our social image. People would have always had them. But they've exploded onto the scene. Robin Williams, in a comedy bit that he did, he said, you know that broken chain that you're going to put on your bicep? It's going to become a picket fence. It's true. But yet no one says, if I do this, what will it look like 20 years from now? How much will it bleed? How much will it fade? How much will what I think has so much meaning for me right now will have no meaning 20 years from now? I know somebody who's 26, in her late teens, early 20s. She got a boatload of tattoos, just a boatload. At age 26, she is saying, I so totally regret all that. What was I thinking? And my response to her would be, you weren't thinking. You didn't ponder the long-term ramifications of this. Right now was what mattered, because right now is the age you're always going to be. And you don't have the full impact of aging until you age. Until you're 75 or 65 and 70 and 80. And then you say, wow, so much that I thought was so, so important to do. So cool to do. So much of making a statement wasn't anything like that. Yes, about hindsight being 2020, and there's some truth to all that, but the ability to think ahead and say, what will be the ramifications of this? Even though right now it feels so right, assuming I get older, assuming I get a lot older, where will my mind be then? I'm Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Thank you for joining me, Dr. Ray Grandy. Program The Doctor Is In, co-production, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, and Ave Maria Radio Communications. My 18-year-old daughter has expressed same-sex attraction. Now, it's an interesting way to choose that, has expressed. There are those younger who have had some same-sex attraction or even same-sex experience, but did not go on to permanently live a same-sex attracted lifestyle. That's true. So I don't know exactly what expressed means. Does it mean, Mom, I may be this way? Mom, I'm feeling this way? What is it that has brought this about? She knows I'm not accepting of that behavior, but I don't stop her from doing what she is doing. She living with you, Mom? She's expressed that it makes her sad. that I'm not accepting of who she wants to be. Well, that's interesting that she puts it that way, and I think that's a very common way that somebody with same-sex attraction puts it to people who don't morally accept a same-sex lifestyle. Who she wants to be. I would ask her, I'm very accepting of who you want to be. Very much. I'm not of that aspect. And that's only one aspect of who you are or who you think you are. So if you want me to accept who you are, I do. I accept so much about you, your personality, your talents, your views, your beauty. I accept a lot. That isn't the only thing that defines who you are. So I would probably tell her that. And it's interesting, too, that she's saying, Mom, you need to compromise or even change your moral beliefs. I've always been perplexed by so many who come out or who proclaim being trans, and they want, in many cases demand, that if you don't applaud, if you don't celebrate that I've decided this is the way I wish to be, at least in that realm, that you need to change. Well, wait a minute. Are you not allowed to have the moral perspective you do? That you still can love the person very much? How is it that they have equated you don't love if you don't accept everything I do? If someone came to you and said, I just love being high on cocaine. It is the best part of my life. I feel so good when I'm high on cocaine. And I want you to accept that. And you say, no, I wouldn't. I'm not. Okay, I'm not going to accept that. But you have to, in most people's eyes, depending upon what they decide their sexual orientation is going to be, you have to accept it. You don't, there's something wrong with you. Are you not allowed to have a moral stance? Now, they can look at you and say, I think you're wrong. I don't think God would want you to think this way. They can say that. That's their opinion. They're allowed to say that. But they can't demand that you say, okay, since this is part of my moral beliefs, I will jettison it because you want me to. I tell her I will always love her, but I cannot be part of that lifestyle. Fair enough. That's fair enough. I am afraid eventually she will just move on to live that lifestyle. She may. She may. But it isn't going to be because you didn't accept it or applaud it or celebrate it. That's not going to be. She's going to go into that lifestyle because that's what she wants to do. Here's the final line. I am at a loss of what to do. No, Mom. You're not at all at a loss of what to do. You are at a loss of what to do so that your daughter will accept your beliefs. That's what you're at a loss of. If you say, I'm a loss as to what to do, are you asking, I am a loss as whether I should decide to jettison my moral belief on this? As it is in line with what I believe through the church? Or are you saying, no, I'm not going to do that? That you don't know which way to go? I don't think that's what you're saying. I think what you're saying is, I'm at a loss to get my daughter not to write me off. That's what you're saying. I think you weren't at a loss at all. You said, I will love you. I will always love you. But don't ask me to celebrate something that I cannot accept. There's a parallel. Some might argue it's not a perfect parallel, but there's a parallel. If your brother, say, comes to you and says, I'm really miserable in my marriage, so I have a mistress. And I'm very happy when I'm with my mistress. And I want you to be happy for me and to be very, very pleased that I am pursuing something that makes me feel better. And furthermore, if I bring my mistress around, I really want you to accept her and take care of her. And even though he's still married. And you're saying, I can't do that. And he says, well, then get out of my life because you can't accept who I am. No, I very much accept who you are in so many ways. I just can't accept that behavior of who you are. See, the demand in our culture is very interesting. Tolerance and acceptance goes in one direction. I want to act the way I want to act, and you have to accept it. I have no tolerance if you don't accept it. If you have a belief that I don't agree with, but nevertheless, that's your moral belief, I can't allow you to have that belief. I can't say, well, I'm going to do this, and I know how you think about this, and I know how you believe at a very deep level, so therefore I will respect that. What is it that so very few people can do that? One might say, well, it's because of their identity. They need to realize that you're accepting their identity. I accept your identity. You still don't accept your conduct. Okay, let's see what else we got on the books here. Let me go down to, let's see, that's an interesting one. I better skip that and go to something a little, oh yeah, I talked to that gentleman. All right, I'll take care of that. Let me try that one there. Dr. Ray, I began watching your weekly show, Living Right with Dr. Ray on EWTN, and enjoyed every minute of it. I'm wondering why you're not being televised lately. You used to come on every Saturday at 10 p.m. That's Eastern time. Are you still actively working with EWTN? Yes, of course. That was probably because it was the Easter season. And oftentimes, EWTN will put in things that they believe are more relevant to the season. I'm certainly still there. Am I still working on new shows? Yes, we're working on season 15. And as a matter of fact, we'll be heading to Buffalo, Station of the Cross Turf. And those folks are, in fact, they can put out a crowd, that's for sure. Ooh, if I read this, I'm not going to make it to the break. Ooh. All right, I'll start it. How do I ask my adult children's forgiveness for choosing to leave their father for reasons they don't know or can't understand? We're not divorced, just separated. Yet they are so upset with me and so angry. My heart hurts for them holding on to all this hatred. My husband agreed to the separation, even helped me move. Still, they don't want anything to do with me because I ruined the family. How can they be so full of hate and anger when we did our best to teach them the importance of family, not to judge and to practice forgiveness? I don't understand how, at their adult ages, they can be so cruel and unforgiving. What do I do? Well, apparently, you have decided you didn't want to share with them what you believe are very severe reasons for separating. Now, I don't know if they were attuned to any of those reasons or not. You have a decision to make. How much do you want to share? And if you did share, would it make any difference? Would they look at it like those aren't reasons, those aren't sufficient enough? We know Dad, and he's nowhere near that bad. Now you're befuddled. You're saying, how can they be so angry? How can they be so full of resentment and bile toward me? I don't know. I don't know how old they are, and I don't know exactly how they're viewing that you ruined the family. Obviously, the split makes it much more difficult now for them. I'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side. This is Dr. Ray. This is E-Person Monday.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to Him, to live the life that He is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose Him or not. But if we choose Him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like Himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that His flesh is true food and His blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire His blood, which is love incorruptible. The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Are you getting as many spam calls on your phone as I get on mine? Typically, when I do these e-persons, it's on my phone. And then it gets knocked off because a spam call comes in. I don't want to say I'm not popular, but I'm getting more spam calls than I'm getting regular calls. This situation, I want to just revisit it for a second. Separation, wife left husband, husband agreed, even helped move her out. The adult kids are very, very angry at her. They believe she's ruined their family. She can't understand their resentments. She called them full of hate and anger when we did our best to teach them the importance of family. Well, see, that would be what their comeback would be. Oh, you always taught us the importance of family, and then you broke up our family. Now, again, you have a decision to make. You got a judgment call, which is, what do you tell them? How much do you share? And I think it's very heroic of you not to want to in any way put down their dad. Maybe you could be vague. You could say, there are things you don't understand, and I don't want to tell you. And hope that that softens them. If they're as angry as you say, probably won't. But at the very least, you can say there were things you don't know. And she said that. She said, I chose to leave their father for reasons they don't know or can't understand. Can't understand is different. Can't understand, maybe they just don't agree with it. They don't think it's sufficient reason to leave a marriage. Don't know is something quite a bit different. You know, maybe he had three adulterous relationships. And she's very hesitant to tell them that. Or that when he was drinking, he got very abusive. Or he had a pornography problem or a gambling problem. And she doesn't want to lower their image of their dad. I got that. Okay. So she has to decide, what do I tell him? And the big unknown is, will it make any difference anyway? That's it. At this point, she says, what do I do? Well, I don't know if there's anything you can do other than deciding what to share. Because if you're saying, what do I do to make them understand? Well, that comes down to, one, how much you want to say, and two, is it in your power to make them understand, no matter what you say? And their view is, how dare you break up our family? And here's the question I would have. Okay, so you're separated. What does that mean? Is reconciliation a possibility? Is this heading for civil divorce? What's the unknowns? Okay. Got it. Let me see where we're at there. Let's see. Hi, Dr. Gurendi. I hope you're doing well. I had reached out to you last year regarding losing my daughter at the end of my pregnancy. My husband and I had unexpectedly lost our daughter, Anna Maria, when I was 40 weeks pregnant. Ooh, wow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It has been a very difficult time. But I'm thankful to say I'm now expecting again and will deliver in early July. I was hoping I could ask you to continue to pray for us and the good health of this new baby, that she will live. Yeah, apparently what happened for our mom here is that the baby died at birth. Thank you very much. Okay, well, I know that there are those of you listening who, in fact, will pray for this young mother. Okay, let me see where we're at here. That was that and that. That and that. Let's go to that one. I'm reading your book, Jesus the Master Psychologist. On page 44, now I don't have the book in front of me, so I don't know the context. It says to stay silent when you're in an argument. I'm not sure I make a blanket statement like that. I think I might say oftentimes you got to decide whether any more words in this argument is doing anything or just being quiet and hearing what the other person is arguing about. Because when you're silent, it doesn't fuel the argument, especially when it's going in a dead end. But what if you don't know why the person is mad? Because they're staying silent. That's different. If somebody's telling you, I'm upset, but I'm not going to tell you. Well, that's not staying silent in an argument. So when you ask them why they're so upset, it blows up in your face. Okay? So when you ask them, I'm going to assume they not only tell you, but they tell you nastily. That's what it sounds like. And let's see where it goes here. you find out that they're mad because your daughter, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, has the same engagement ring as she does. Oh, man. So, a materialistic ring makes it so we haven't talked in 2 years. We? Are you saying you haven't talked to them? Or you've left them alone? Or you've tried to talk to them and were rebuffed or ignored? And you weren't invited to the wedding. Is it better to stay silent for 2 years and never know why the other person's not talking to you? Well, it sounds like you do know why they're not talking to you. But, and I'm going to jump on this in about 2 minutes and 40 seconds after the break, because I've got a hard break coming up and there's nothing I can do about it. But one, if that was the reason that you had the same, your daughter had the same engagement ring as she did, is this a niece? Is this a cousin? Is this a younger sister? I don't know the relationship here, but to not talk for 2 years, is this a friend? But to not talk for 2 years? Did she not talk to you, or you not talk to her, and neither one of you talked to the other? That makes a difference. So we'll find out on the other side what we can anyway. I'm Dr. Ray.
What is the meaning of the Hail Mary? There are multiple meanings, explains the Catholic Catechism. When we say Hail Mary or Rejoice Mary, we are repeating the greeting of the angel Gabriel to Mary at the Annunciation. The next phrase, full of grace, the Lord is with you, asserts that Mary is full of grace because the source of grace, the Lord, is with her. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, echoes Elizabeth when she greeted her young cousin who had come to assist her during her delivery of John the Baptist. Holy Mary, Mother of God, means that because Mary gives us Jesus, her Son, the God-man, Mary is the Mother of God and our Mother. The final plea to Mary, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, acknowledges that we are sinners now, hoping that Mary can welcome us as our mother at the hour we die and lead us to her Son Jesus in paradise. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Research has shown that the best communication, get your bottom to bed, is not only obvious, but more subtle, eat your broccoli, and subliminal, wash your hands after the bathroom. Therefore, in my ongoing endeavor to better help others toward more enlightened interactions, what were you born in a barn? Shut the door. I will, from this point forward, utilize all levels of conscious and unconscious verbalizations.
I'm going to review this e-person. Because one, you might not remember. Two, for sure, I don't remember. But I want to just touch on some other points. It's basically, this is the question. If you don't know why someone is mad because they're staying silent, when you ask them, they get really mad. Now they tell you. In this case, This person was mad at our writer because her daughter, our writer's daughter, had the exact same engagement ring as the mad person does. So, and here's the words, a materialistic ring makes it so we haven't talked in 2 years and weren't invited to the wedding. Boy, oh boy. Okay, I got so many questions here. One, is that the only thing? If it is, if in fact this person interpreted your daughter's ring as somehow not caring that she had the same ring, and she got so upset about it that she wrote you off for 2 years, I'm forced to several conclusions. One, you didn't have anywhere near a solid relationship with this person at all. And my guess would be there was a whole bunch of other stuff brewing in her head that were your offenses. Now, that's my most likely speculation. If, in fact, she got that angry because the rings were the same, what does that say about her? And what does that say about you being able to keep a relationship with her if that was enough to break it? Third, you haven't talked in 2 years. Is that because when she erupted on you, you decided, okay, until she apologized to me, I'm not talking to her. And apparently she isn't talking to you, so for 2 years you haven't talked to each other. Or you tried. You made gestures. And they were rebuffed or ignored. Well, you can't do anything more after that. You've tried. You don't have anything to apologize for. Your daughter just got a ring. Okay. Same ring as she got. There ain't a person in this whole world that's going to notice except her. What's your daughter think about this? Was your daughter written off too? If you haven't reached out to her, I suppose you could try. But I would wonder if, in fact, as long as your daughter has that ring, that makes you off limits. Maybe it makes your daughter off limits too. So given that, you said, and you never know why the other person is not talking to you. Well, in a way, I guess I could say, you do know why, but maybe you don't know all the why. If the only thing she told you was, your daughter got the same ring as I did, and I just think that's so disrespectful, and I take offense, and that's all she said, I don't buy it. I'm sure there's other stuff brewing or has brewed. On the other hand, you said, hold on a second, let me get this little bit. You don't know why? Well, it's like anything else. When somebody gets really mad at you to the point where they don't talk to you for long periods of time, you can almost always assume there's more to it. Especially if it's something very minor or at least would appear minor to most people. I got to believe if you polled 100 people, 99 of them would say that's no reason to sever a relationship if that's the only thing. And that 100th person would be her. So you do know why up to a point. Okie dokie. I'm going to take a few minutes early break so I have some room on the other side to take another question or two. This is Dr. Ray. The program is The Doctor Is In. This is the variant, the Monday variant of The Doctor Is In, which is E-Person Monday. Absolutely delighted that you've kept me company for this amount of time. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Thank you for joining me, Dr. Ray Garanti, program Doctors In. Monday variant, e-person Monday. So we'll take a look at these e-persons who come in. Some weeks ago, we had a caller who was asking about how to reply to a relative, I think it was a parent, who says, I don't know why God is still keeping me around. We talked a little bit about that. So this email is in response to that. I offer this observation, Dr. Ray, that my sister wrote about my father just after he died. A few weeks ago, this is his sister's writing this. A few weeks ago, he told me that little by little, everything was being taken away from him. His physical strength, his ability to balance and walk, his relationship with his dementia-afflicted wife. I thought this was his usual gloomy fatalism, which had always been a major part of his personality, alongside the gratitude, she said, against which there could be no argument because he was right. This life leads to decrepitude. Well, if you live long enough, maybe not decrepitude. That implies a state that essentially you are not competent in many ways, particularly physically or mentally. Not necessarily. I mean, many people have old age and they pass away and they still have much of their faculties, their abilities. Then he said, and all this is a good thing. I don't remember his exact words, but he said that God was preparing him for death by gradually detaching him from the goods of this life. This thought has been helpful to me, and I hope it can be useful to some of your listeners, and maybe even to people who wonder why God is still keeping them around. Dr. Ray, I've been listening to you since 2004 to keep boredom at bay. Well, some people listen to me to invite boredom in. While I was cooking and cleaning for my 8 then little kids. (Laughter) I had a friend. He was a United Methodist pastor. He was one of the first people that I heard share this observation. And he said that. He believes, in many respects, aging is a gift of God. Now, obviously, it's a gift of God because he allows us to be here longer. But it's a gift in the sense that, and this relates back to my opening monologue, where I talked about one of the reasons people get tattoos is that they always think they're going to be that age. They don't think 30 years down the road what these tattoos are going to look like and whether they'll even want them anymore or whether the meaning that they thought they had back when is long gone. And that idea of I'm no longer physically competent, especially like I was, or my mind is starting to fail me, or so many of the people that I loved and were central to my life are no longer here. So much that what we consider healthy, positive, pleasant living is not there. Now, one might say, well, kind of a nihilistic sort of attitude, isn't it? Yes and no. It depends how you view it. If, in fact, you're grateful, despite the fact there's been so much loss in your life, that God has allowed you to live to this point and give whatever you can to others. Look at Pope John Paul II toward the end. He was so frail. His Parkinson's had just debilitated him. This brilliant man, physically robust in his younger years, was kind of a physical shell. And when he spoke, it was barely audible. But his courage, his heroic gratitude in the face of what he was experiencing and how he still reached out to others was perhaps his greatest message. So yeah, on one hand, there will be loss. But on the other, there's gratitude. And maybe that gratitude is also not just because the Lord has given you a long life, but because you're recognizing you're being detached from everything that you thought was so important, that you chased, not chased, like chaste, but chased, chased, chased in your younger life, whether it was a career, sports, money, all the stuff that you chased, you realize, where is it? Meaningless, gone. And God lets you see that. You weren't going to see it when you were 42. You were right in the middle of it. And your perspective on life was that you had all these things. Most of the people you love were still alive. You could hear. You didn't hurt. Body parts didn't hurt. Your mind was agile. All those things. And you didn't think as much about heaven because, well, you had a lot of stuff going on here. And that's so easy to do. And it could explain a lot of reasons why young people don't pay a whole lot of attention to God, because, man, they got it all right now. But that aging is a gift. Not just for more years of presence to do God's will here, but because he said, okay, the stuff that you thought was worthwhile taking up all your time and effort, you don't have anymore. You're going to pay attention to me now? You're going to start looking my way? I see that. At this point, I still pretty physically capable, and as far as I can tell, my mind isn't going anywhere. And yes, I have lost a lot of loved ones, mostly people of the older generation than me. My generation hasn't really started passing away in great numbers yet. But I look at it too, and I say so much of what I thought was so important when I was 35. I'm not talking about family or religion. I'm talking about the stuff that our culture says, go get it. Go get it. Be successful. Your career, high profile. Be materially comfortable. All that stuff. It's starting to fade. And I'm grateful. I'm happy that it's starting to fade. I don't want to focus on that stuff. I want to turn my eyes much more consistently toward the afterlife, toward doing what I can do with what I've got left to serve God. And maybe in a lot of ways, that's better serving. Because if you don't have quite as much left to serve and you use it to serve, ooh, that's pretty good. It's like the widow's mite, you know? She gave of her lack. So I think that's a wonderful insight on that sister's part. I'm Dr. Ray. I appreciate so very much your company. And I appreciate you keeping me here. And good Lord permit, talk to you tomorrow. Ear to ear, face to face. Well, no, face to ear. Voice to ear. One of those senses. Walk with God. Do that now. I'm Dr. Ray.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Calling all Texas artists. If you're 18 years or older and would like a chance to win a prize of $5,000 and have your original artwork displayed in downtown Dallas for a year on the Catholic Foundation's public art wall near the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe, then you have until September 10th to submit your artwork. The theme for this year's Art on the Plaza competition is Expression of Harmony. For rules and information, visit CatholicFoundation.com. That's CatholicFoundation.com.
Sacred Heart Catholic School students in Munster have a real relationship with Jesus and His Blessed Mother Mary. We are committed to forming future saints through frequent participation in the sacraments, daily prayer, and classical curriculum. Students learn to put their faith into action. Go to shmunster.com for more info and to learn about our bus transport from Denton. Sacred Heart, a Catholic classical K-12 school. Give your children the gift of a Catholic classical education at Sacred Heart Catholic School, a sponsor of KATH 910 AM.
Are you a fan of G.K. Chesterton, and would you like to share your love for his writings with other enthusiasts? If so, please join the Chesterton Society of Dallas and Fort Worth at one of their monthly meetings, which are held on the second Saturday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. The meetings are held at the La Madeleine Restaurant on North MacArthur Boulevard in Irving. The meetings are open to all. For more information, contact Jeff Smallwood at 214-537-4358. 214-537-4358. The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Homeschool Connections for their support of Catholic Radio. They are an online Catholic course provider for grade school, middle, and high school age students. You can put your students in touch with Joseph Pierce, Gary Mashuda, Aaron M. Brown, and other such instructors of a variety of subjects such as theology and philosophy, math, English, history, and the languages. More information is available at homeschoolconnections.com. That's homeschoolconnections.com.
Discover the depths of love and enrichment at a Beyond Cana Marriage Enrichment Retreat. The Beyond Cana Retreat will take place on Friday, August 22nd through Sunday, August 24th at the Cambria Hotel in Richardson. The retreat will focus on communication, respect, and intimacy that are so integral to a good marriage. This retreat is designed to invigorate marriage and promises a weekend of connection and growth. For more information or to register, visit beyondcana.org.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company and want to explore options that align with your faith and values? There is an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful Catholics that never fund immoral medical services such as abortion and transgender surgeries. Prices start as low as $85 per month for a single and $512 for families. Call 844-719-2356 today or go to joinshs.com, a sponsor of the GRN.